I think Daniel, welcome everybody. Daniel prepared an excellent entree for what I'm going to try and do for you at this point in time. I had talked a little bit about the idea of pedagogy and redesign. I'm going to show you some a very simple LAM sequence that I used to build this model. And what I want to talk about, I guess, in this point is that there seems to me to be a great deal of resistance for far too long in the LAMS community with respect to this tool, or in the educational community with respect to the advantages of the LAMS tool. I was working with Duke NUS, and last August they approached me in my role as director for the Center for Collaborative Learning at that time, to see if we could quickly put together a PhD program, and it was August, and they wanted to start in September, and run this from September, October, and November. And what we wanted to do was see if we could use LAMS to support a team-based pedagogy. Now, the team-based pedagogy, it has its origins in the collaborative learning that started early in the 80s, and I fortunately was part of the community that rolled that out in the province of British Columbia, Canada. So I was very intimately familiar with what collaborative learning could do and the power of it. And Duke NUS has created a very innovative approach to the use of collaborative team-based learning, which they call Team Lead. And what we wanted to see was, can we use this tool to eliminate some of the paperwork, and can I morph it? And so this is not an actual application of the Duke NUS Team Lead. It is a morphing of it to accommodate a PhD program and the technology. Now, when I started with this, Scott Summers was in charge of this PhD program, and it's an integrated biology and medicine program around six or five key signature programs for research at Duke: cancer and stem cells, neuroscience, etc. So there were five. And there were 26 to 30 professors all doing research. And so what we had is they brought in 12 students, two from the medical school. And this program had to be providing them an entree into all of the courses so they could begin their research. So it was very intensive. So what we had to do was we had to look at a team-based learning adaptation. So I've talked a little bit about what it is, but the team-based learning process for Duke was the students would learn all of their materials or review all their materials via video and PowerPoint before they came to class. And the IRA, JIRA, it's called Individual Readiness Assessment and Group Readiness Assessment, is based on the idea that you review these materials, much like we used to read chapters in books before we came to class to discuss them, and then you would be tested on your foundational knowledge. So imagine that you are the class. I gave you some pre-LAMS reading to do, and you've come to class. Now I'm going to give you an individual readiness assessment. So very quickly, I'm going to give you 10 questions, and you'll all do them on your own. You will then submit your answers. Then you will go into your groups or your teams, which you've had from the very beginning. And then you will say, Fedora will say, well, question one was A. And Desmond will say, oh no, question one was C. And three other people will have D and E. Then you must decide as a team what the correct answer is, and then submit it to the large group, and then compare the answers. And you must do it within a very specific time frame, 25 minutes. So it's a timed item. That's the individual IRA JIRA that they use. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to say, okay, what can we do with this, with LAMS to support this? So I suggested that what we could do is we'll create a sequence, we will then show the professors, look, You all have PowerPoints. We're not going to do recorded lectures. You all have PowerPoints, you have Word documents, you have website resources, etc. So what we'll do is I will give you a Word template. And with the Word template, I will ask you to outline what your objectives are. So that's a clear introduction. And then you will give the resources that the students are responsible for covering before they come to class. Then you will give me a series of questions, 10 to 15, and that was a negotiation, around foundational knowledge related to those to that concept, right? They could be multiple choice, they could be Q&A. And then the students would launch the LAM sequence. Well, first of all, they would give me all that, and then I would populate it. Now, that's another story. I said to them, we had to get their buy-in. So imagine we didn't meet with all 26. We met with 13 one day, 13 the other. I showed them the model. I talked about what was required, and they would nod their head. And then I would wait for the material, and then I would realize, no, it's not coming. So I would go and knock on their door, and I'd say, okay, yeah, but, you know, we would like the students to have at least 1 week of time to review this material before they come to class when we start to work it. And so eventually some got it and some didn't. What happens after that is that they were supposed to facilitate the sessions, but it became very clear that they weren't able to do it. So I ended up also facilitating the sessions. So in other words, I was the moderator. Their job was simply to give me the materials, which I put into the LAM sequence, craft the questions, which I put into the LAM sequence. So it's not very pretty, but it was, you know, it did the task. And then I would moderate it, and I said to them, what you are is a resource person. So you will come in and you will sit down, and once the students are finished or there are questions, then you will come into the equation. So it was a blended learning model whereby we use LAMs for them to do the materials off, you know, on their own, then they come to class, and then we work it individually and in teams. So that's the kind of scenario, the background setup, okay? The preparations. As I said, we had to get some buy-in. That was a little bit of a challenge. Initially, you know, there was a great deal of resistance because they just wanted to come in and lecture. I'm just going to tell them what they need to know, right? So we said, no, we had to disabuse them of that idea. And so we said, no, what we want you to do is we want you to provide these materials, which you already have, and we don't care that they're not narrated. So we switched them into that mode of thinking. And I'll tell you a little bit about after how they were able to respond to that. We had meetings, and I gave them that template. I talked about the template. I gave them a Word template, which some were able to, sometimes, just as an aside, sometimes it just really, I go through this thing called cognitive dissonance when I think, these guys are really, really highly skilled, but you give them a template, and they can't fill it out. You know, they just, you know, it's, you just wonder. It's so focused. Anyway, we did the template. Then we needed a server. So this is where LAMS International stepped up to the plate for me. Ernie was really helpful because I was struggling with their IT department to get a server. So I decided, well, the best thing to do here is we'll just go to LAMS International, and Ernie created a server space for me, and I was able to work solely from there, so I didn't have to get into the nitty-gritty negotiations with IT infrastructure people, who can sometimes be a little bit challenging. So enough said about that. The scheduled the meetings. There was a great deal of timing on this. I would try to schedule these meetings with them. Notice I keep saying I, and it was I. And then that was the beauty of having LAMS, is that I could do that. I didn't have to rely on a programmer. I didn't have to rely on a graphics designer. I didn't have to rely on anybody. I could work with these guys and do it, and women, and do this without too much trouble. But I would have to schedule these meetings and get on the phone and try and find the time so that, and remind them that, you know, listen, it's, you know, your time is such and such. So I would send them the schedule of all of the administrivia that was associated with that, which you don't need to know about. Tracking. I also had to create a little template. So if you ever wanted to do this, you want to create a little template that allows you to track who's due, when, where, what. And I'm not going to bother showing you that. Student orientation. When we began this thing, the students, I walked them through the LAMP sequence. I told them that, look, this is an experiment. They were all very accommodative because we did have a few issues. We were going wireless, and I was a little concerned about wireless because in the Duke NUS building there were issues sometimes with receiving, and we were also working on a server that was in North America. So Ernie and I had done a couple of tests and things, and we found that the server in the United States was a few seconds faster than the server in Australia. So we went with it, but we did have sometimes some little glitches, and the students were quite accommodating. Marks gathering, again, the marks gathering sheet. I did it. They had to mark these offline. So it was the other thing that we didn't auto mark these things because I was using the Q&A. I wanted to use the Q&A so that they could see the responses to the questions in their individually when they submitted and in their groups when they come into the groups so that they, and if we used your assessment tool, well then we couldn't. We can group them, but if you use the assessment tool, you can't do this. So it was about Q&A. And the other challenge with the Q&A, and I think it's been rectified in the latest version, is that you can't give a grade in the grade book. So I had to create an assessment tied to the Q&A so that the professors could mark it. So I had to give them a template where they could enter the marks once they had marked them. So these are little things that in the next iteration we had hoped to, reestablish some clarity around. All right. I'm going to switch now to so you get a bit of a visual on the way in which we ran this. This was the site. Again, this is the login. You can customize this. So if you're wanting to roll out on your own and you wanted a LAMP server, you could just quickly customize it. Nothing too fancy. This is the sequence of there were two professors per week. So they were meeting Monday and Tuesday, 3 hours in the morning, both days, Thursday and Friday. 3 hours. Okay, so in the Monday they would do the IRA JIRA, and in the Tuesday they would do an application exercise. The idea behind the team-based pedagogy is that you do the foundational work, and then this application exercise is when you do a problem that or a case that forces you to apply the information that you've digested in the previous class and present that to the group. So again, that's the two models, the IRA JIRA and the application. So these became templates. Once I created the template, then we just distributed them across the weeks. And there were 14 weeks. And I tell you, sometimes we were here and the students were here, or right here, and this still hadn't come in, right? Because it was like, okay, phone up, where's the stuff? The students need at least a week. And we didn't know exactly how much content it would take. I mean, I would say to them, well, look, you're the best judge of that. How much do you, time is it going to take them to digest all the resources that you've given them? I don't know that. You have to tell me that. Then we decided on the questions, how many questions. So we were gauging like 10 questions to 15 questions, multiple choice, Q&A. Scott and I both preferred open-ended questions as opposed to multiple choice, but the students tend to like the idea of multiple choice because then it forces them into a thinking pattern. And in medicine, a lot of the tests that they do are all multiple choice anyway. But we felt that there was more to be learned on a Q&A, on an open-ended question. But, we struggled with that for a little bit. So this is the simple sequence that we came up with. Here was, I would say to them, look, just don't give me the objectives. I if you've done the training, you know that the little red dot is there. And I was trying to get them to think about even doing a short introduction on, this is about pharmacology, and this is about oral dose versus the intravenous, et cetera, et cetera. They couldn't get their head around that. So I said, just give me a list of objectives, and I kind of popped them in. This part here, the share resources, we put a forum in. The share resources, I'll show you an example. This was simple, links to websites, links to, you know, PowerPoints. Some of them had videos. I had to put those videos up on Dropbox so that they could link and grab those things. So it was kind of quickly developed. They would do all that, then there was a stop. When they came into class, then they would all sit down. They all had their laptops and their tablets, and then we would open the gate. The students all took turns as group leaders or team leaders, rotating each week. One of them would be responsible. So they would sit down, they would do their individual readiness exercise. This is here so I could enter in the grade book. All right? Now, they would do it, then there would be a gate. Then I would say, okay, fine, now off to your groups. So they would go into their teams, and in the Duke scenario, in their large group of 56 students, there would be 8 teams of 7. They would go into their teams. Remember, it's blended learning. I would open the gate. Then they would submit. They would get the exact same questions here. All right? Exact same questions. And then as a team, they had to come to a consensus around the answer and then submit it as a team. And then so the marking was 30% for this, 30% for this, and 30% for the group application exercise. All right? And then a fudge factor of 10%. That was the model that we used on a regular basis. Okay, so here's an example of an IRA created. This is just a set with this particular woman. These are the open-ended questions that she had, and she only gave 5, and it still took them about 25 minutes to 30 minutes. And so, again, because this is the first time we were doing it, sometimes they would say, you know, I just can't finish in this 25 minutes. So we would fudge it a little bit, give them 30 minutes, 35. But eventually, you know, we were going to have to tighten that up. Again, this is a sample of, you know, before Daniel showed you somewhere, you know, there would be a picture of the professor or whatever. I didn't have time to do that. It was, remember, we started in August, rolled out in September, and we're just keeping ahead of them all the way. So while I would like to, the idea was, let's just get it out, and then we can make it pretty later on. So this was what I would get them to do, and then, I mean, I would say to them, look, an objective, you know, it has to be measurable, you know, it has to be specific, you know. So I didn't have a lot of time to get into teaching them about that, so I would sometimes just recraft them myself. It would seem to be the easiest way. Okay, this is an example of some of the resources. I would say to them things like, okay, so here are the resources that you want the students to use. And then I'd say to them, can you give them a heads up? All right, you're going to do these series of resources. Can you tell the students what to expect? This is where you're going to do it, right? How much time should they put in? So I managed to get this amount, and it varied. Some were a little bit more specific than others. And again, because we were trying to get this rolled out so very quickly, you know, it doesn't look as pretty as it could. Then they've committed the groups. And this, I just used the random grouping here. 5 minutes. Whoa, God. Okay, so I just used the random grouping here. I was like, hey, I didn't start till 25. No. Okay, I just used the random grouping. And they knew what team it was, so they selected. Your group one, your team one, right? So, again, this is to show you that they could ignore this, but I had to put it in there. It's a little sloppy, but I'm the next iteration, it should be fine. Here's an example of another type of question, all right? And quickly, so he had two types, right? He would mix them up. So I would put multiple choice in the Q&A. So they could just select A, B, C, D, or there would be an actual question. Now, here's where you can see the differences here. This is the group, so they've individually done their answers. And so we could see Shiyun has got a C, Catherine, two, these three. Okay, what did I do? All right, so when these three now all think it's A, Shiyun has to convince them that it is C. And that's where the dialogue takes place in the groups. And that's where the learning takes place, because now they have to explain, why are you thinking that way? And they have a very short period of time. And again, here you can see differences. B, C. Questions, what the word they had to answer. When we would look at these, right? You could see that there was a difference. What do you do? How do you respond to that? Why are you saying that and I'm saying that? And they had to come up with their own answer. Then when they came back to the large group, I would project these up on the, like this, and say, okay, James, your group said this. Can you walk us through what you're thinking about that? So James would do that. And then I'd say, oh, okay, Alan, your group, you disagree. I don't even have to know the topics, right? I'm just facilitating. So walk us through that. Here's the professor, the guy who put all this in. He's sitting here, and when it gets dicey or when it needs input, up he comes. Okay? So that's, I'm moving quickly. Again, this is the group. Then again, this is the JIRA. This is where they would put their answers as one group, and then we would deal with those. All right? The application, no grouping. Each group, one person would do the application exercise. The development cycle, I think I'm getting close. I think my brain is full. Yep. And I'm going to repeat this. I would like to see something in this thing here where we have default sequences, like are you teaching a concept, rule, procedure, et cetera, so that when in NTU, for instance, that the people who can come in on a different, they might be School of Engineering. It's not activating. Okay. So, but the school of, these guys would have a list of choices here, of templates that they could select under each school. So that's something that we would want to continue to try to work towards. Okay? So that pretty much is everything that I can say about, in that short period of time, how we did that. Okay? So that's the wrap.
We do have time for a couple of questions, so if you'd like to ask Paul.
Yeah. Brahman.
Out there and all alone.
Oh, yeah, no, it, because you're in your small group.
Oh, I'm just wrong, sorry. You know, that would be my response.
No. Yeah, the beauty of it was, I was going to show you videos if I had time of them in action. They were adamant, right? And so they would have them in rooms with whiteboards. And so I have scenes where they're talking about it, and they said, no. They get up on the whiteboard, and they kind of sketch it out, and they really defend it. They did not quickly give in, because when they came back, let's say, oh yeah, right, okay, you all said D, yeah, it's D. Come back, do it with a large group, and it isn't D, it's A. I was right after all. So after that, they would, like, one time of that, they'd be like, okay, no, right, okay, I'm not following the group anymore, right? Because the group mark, they got an individual mark, and then they got a group mark, and the group mark was 30%. So, and also, we were challenging the types of questions. We were saying 7 out of 10. We want them individually to get about 7 out of 10. And then after they did the individual group, and then they came into groups, always the marks went up, invariably. Over 90% of the time, their marks went up in that group. So that was real positive for us. Yes? In NTU or in this particular one or overall?
NTU.
Okay. This, how much time do I have?
A minute or two.
A minute or two. Okay. Overall, the students like it. I do. I thought I had some results here, but maybe I don't. No, I cut them out. Overall, the students are very positive about it because they like getting the chance to feedback in a significant way. The teachers who used it were all skeptical, but when they saw this, they really were quite positive about it. I mean, Daniel has given you examples of how the professors here, when they first saw all the feedback, were quite astonished. And I can tell you that in general is the feeling amongst those who use the tool, because it gives them a chance to go, and as I've said before, they craft their lesson around what the students need to know. Yeah.
Quick question, if I may. Super quick, yeah, okay. I'm just interested to know more about the application class, because I think you skipped through that quite
quickly.
Yeah,
sorry, yeah.
Because, you know, the first class that you mentioned was quite interesting for me.
The application exercise was, again, some pre-reading. They would get some questions around a problem. They were given a problem, which involved them coming up with a solution and writing that solution out. And then we would project that solution of all four groups up on the overhead. And then I'd say, okay, all right, that's your solution. Defend it. Then they would give a few minutes to defend it. And the thing was, it wasn't just the leaders. Anybody in the group who was pointed to had to answer and support it. You couldn't just say, oh, no, I didn't do that part. I was the team lead. So everybody was responsible for answering the questions when we were in the group.